rolling. Appreciate everybody's attendance on this spring afternoon. First act will be roll call.
Commissioner Lopez?
Present.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Chair Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
Commissioner Christopher?
Here.
All right, thank you. So on the agenda today, we need to approve the summary proceedings from the April meeting, April 16th meeting. Do we have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much. Consent agenda. On these emails, item B, C, and E is under investigation. Item A is resolved. And item D is addressed through a field response. Does anybody want to pull this from consent? If not, I need a motion to receive and file.
I don't see a need to pull it. The one that we all were trying to figure out is the guy from Canada. So apparently there's a Lamont in Canada. And he sent the email to you. Is that kind of how it all?
Commissioner Geary, through the chair. An email was sent to all of the district offices and then all of the municipalities within Kern County. And I think the email address that they found for Lamont ended up being Alberta, Canada, Lamont. And so the person that wrote back was a city official from Alberta, Canada, Lamont, stating he agrees that it is an issue, but that he doesn't know that he can have much effect on a resolution.
Got it. Okay.
Wrong country. It's okay.
Just a few more. Any other discussion on that?
No, I'm ready to receive and file.
Okay, so you make a motion?
I'm making a motion to receive and file.
So I need a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Public presentations. Oh, I need to remind everybody. So we have a small group here, but please turn your electronic devices off or
do it next time.
That's okay.
Thanks.
And if you need to talk, please step out in the hallway. Thank you. Public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. You've got 2 minutes. I need your name and zip code. Table one.
Nothing?
Table three.
Your one.
Oh, we're one.
Yes.
Yeah,
you're
table
one.
So you.
Well, yes. Then I would like to say something.
Oh,
I have to go ahead. This is the first time
I'm
attending.
Oh, it is. Okay.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And just your name and your zip code, please.
All right. So my name is. Do I have to speak in the microphone?
Yes.
Okay. Is there someone in the
audience here? Talk a little bit more. There you go.
There you go. Thank you. My name is Sandy Gironi, G-I-U-R-L-E-N-I, and I'm 93309. Okay. All right. In October 2013, Kern County Animal Services relocated from their previous facility on Mount Vernon to their current shelter on Fruitvale Avenue in Bakersfield. And the way I understand it, this move was supposed to be temporary. Well, it seems like the temporary is becoming permanent because we're like 12 years later and the shelter is still, you know, on Fruitvale Avenue in a building that I believe is not adequate for all the dogs and the animals in there. On July 25th, 2023, the Kern County Board of Supervisors approved an allocation of nearly, and I'm sorry first about my accent, I'm from France, okay? If you don't understand one of my words, ask me to repeat. An allocation of nearly $16 million for the expansion of the Kern County Animal Shelter, and Supervisor Flores specifically stated on July 25th, 2023, And I quote, if you look at our budget session, we heard the public, we listened, we changed the budget, and that just shows that your participation is paramount. Last week, the shelter took in 253 dogs, and Nick can correct me if I'm wrong, that's what I saw, within only 5 days, including a staggering 73 dogs in a single day. Currently, the shelter is housing around 400 animals, which is 2 to 3 times its intended capacity. This overwhelming situation will without a doubt lead to increased euthanasia rates due to spaces. And of course, we know we have the problem of URI and behavior and stuff like that. It is heartbreaking to consider how we can disregard the lives of potential loyal companions, treating them as if they are disposable. Every furry friend deserves a chance at life and love, and we must advocate for their well-being in a shelter rather than turning a blind eye to their suffering. My question is very simple, and I expect, you know, an answer hopefully from all of you. When will the construction begin on a new shelter, which is very urgently needed? Thank you so much for your attention.
Okay. I've heard of Nick on that one. We have more info on.
There is a new one in the works, in case you didn't know.
But it's a bit. No, she does.
Yeah, I am aware of it. The situation, because I used to volunteer at the shelter, and because of all the things that I'm doing, I unfortunately couldn't do it anymore. Every single time I was going there and I was coming out, I was in my car for a good 15 minutes and crying my eyes out, because the conditions are horrible for not only the dogs, but for the employees and for the volunteers. I mean, you know, I've heard so many stories about how it's emotionally and physically breaking them down. You know, it was promised, and that move was just temporary in 2013. We are in 2025,
okay.
12 years later.
Okay, so. Okay, we understand. Nick, do you want to give us an update maybe sometime you're in your part on the new site? You don't have to do it right now. But
I could speak to it at the director's report, Commissioner.
Okay, Biden. That's what I was saying. Okay, good.
Yeah, and I understand that building was not meant,
no.
It was not built to be an animal shelter. It was kind of urgent, the whole move and everything.
Yes.
I'm probably aware of all that.
Yes, I am, yes.
Okay.
Okay, anyone else in table one? No? Okay. Table three. Yes?
I don't know. I'd be talking just to talk. Okay, I will.
I had to twist your arm on that one.
What would we do without you?
Michelle, 93309. I've been coming here for, I don't know, 7-ish years. And I enjoy when people decide to come. Even though this isn't the fashion in which anything really gets done immediately, I learn a lot coming here. I get a different perspective. I can ease my soul when I do get answers if you ask me directly. And I know people come here because it's allotted for us to come here. You guys represent each of your supervisors, and I always want everyone to remember that. I do have expectations that you continue to communicate with them. I'm not necessarily that they will communicate back, and we know that, but I do see this as valuable. And if I ever, you know, get to the point to where people don't feel comfortable coming in here speaking, and I think everyone does, I'm not saying that they don't, but I do associate you with our supervisors, and I like coming here, but if we ever start feeling that it's not valuable, which I know a lot of people don't, I still fight for this commission, then there's no point in having it. And I still like coming here, having you guys here, and having Nick an immediate access to us.
Yeah.
So I always think it's important, and the commission recently was going to talk about having these meetings every other month. And the last time they had that discussion was about 7 years ago, and I really fought to not have it. They kept it the last meeting, they were voting on it again, and they chose to continue having them monthly. So I do think it's important. If you come next month, I would love to see your guys' faces. It's not very fun.
There you go.
It's not exciting, but it can be really informative. And that's all. Okay.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
Okay, since that's all the public presentations. We will move to item G, staff announcements for reports. The director of monthly report, please.
She mentioned bringing beer, so I'm just going to step it out.
Nick Cullen, director of the county's animal services department. I would like to disagree. I think they are exciting.
Oh, okay.
On occasion.
Okay, well, you can change my mind. I'm here for my change.
I can admit that they're a lot more fun now that I don't have to do the director's report anymore. Somebody else does it for me. Thank you. Yeah, so I just wanted to touch on a few points in the director's report. Foster continues to be just a huge part of what we do. Just in April alone, and you'll start to see the foster numbers creep up just because the amount of cats and kittens that are coming to us started probably about 3 weeks ago, maybe close to a month ago. What do you think, Commissioner? Christopher, about a month ago, 3 weeks
Yeah,
ago.
I went to get kitties fixed just a couple weeks ago, and I didn't have a full bus because the kittens were not quite big enough. So.
Yeah, so those foster numbers are going to start creeping up. 310 animals just in the month of April entered our foster care program. About two-thirds of them were cats, kittens, 197. Our foster program is sort of like a, right now, like a holding area for the local retail stores. And so almost all of our foster kittens go from foster care directly to one of the Petco or PetSmart stores. So there are three PetSmart stores in Bakersfield. There's one on Ming Avenue, there's one on Callaway, and there's one on
Oswell.
And then there's two Petcos, and that's Rosedale Highway and Gosford. And for the most part, if you see kittens in those stores, they have in-store habitats. For the most part, if you see kittens in those stores, those are kittens from our shelter. There's some other shelters that participate in that program too, but we have been just making an effort to flood those stores with kittens. So it's nice to have that as some sort of safety valve for the kittens that are coming in. We're getting to the point where we got a PetSmart Charities grant. This was probably about 3 months ago. I want to say it was $40,000 we got a grant for, but it was intended to pay for a part-time employee to do basically nothing but keep the stores stocked with kittens. And so what we're also on the verge of doing is having her reach out to the local rural shelters within Kern County, Wasco, Delano, McFarland, Cal City, just to see if they have kittens that are brought to them that they would otherwise euthanize, so that we can step in, get those kittens, run them through our foster program, and then place them up for adoption in the local PetSmart store. So that's something we're on the verge of doing. I don't know how successful we'll be. Most shelters, other than ours and probably the city of Bakersfield, don't take cats at all, kittens or otherwise. But we just want to see if we can do some intervention and talk to some of the staff out there and say, hey, you know, if you do receive a litter of kittens that are within, you know, 4 to 6 weeks old and not incredibly ill, like, here's our number, call us, we'll come out and come up and do a shelter-to-shelter transfer. And then we'll put them through our foster program and get them to PetSmart stores. So really trying to beef up the foster program, trying to facilitate those adoptions through the PetCar, Petco, and PetSmart stores, and really trying to support some of the local rural shelters in our county. Our TNR program is approaching 25,000 cats since we started it. Started in 2013, 12 years later, almost 25,000 cats. I would love to have the county take credit for that, but most of the credit goes to Critters Without Litters because they've done the large majority of those kittens over the years. Adoptions are kind of tough right now. We're seeing a dip in adoptions. 367 adoptions in a month is lower than what we hope. Closer to 500 is what we're usually hoping for, especially with the increase in intake. So we're just always trying to be creative with promotions and adoption specials. I think we just decided today to do a free adoption event on Friday and Saturday. We don't do all that many free adoption events anymore, to try to make them stand out a little bit. But so if you know somebody who's interested in adopting, please convince them to adopt from children. Our vaccine clinics in April were busy. We were all throughout the county. Our team administered 491 rabies vaccines to community pets, 426 parvo distemper vaccines, 170 feline vaccinations, 57 bordetella vaccinations, and 91 microchips. The microchips are free. The parvo distemper vaccines are free. Parvo distemper vaccines are free for anybody. City, county, doesn't matter. Microchips are free for county residents. You know, and again, that's just an attempt to get microchipped pets so that when they inevitably show up at the animal shelter, that we have somebody that we can contact and get the animal back home. Our spay-neuter program, just in April, we provided for the sterilization of 401 animals. To give you an idea of what we've done year to date, so fiscal year starts in on July 1st, so this is July 1st of 2024. Being our fiscal year, and ends June 30th of this year. And to date, we've provided for the sterilization of 7,699 community pets. So that's not shelter animals, those are community pets. That also does not include the animals that have been altered by the regional occupation center that's operating the program to provide spay and neuter for community pets also. That's funded by us, the county. I think their goal is 800. I think they're about halfway there. So another 400 animals on top of that, we're past 8,000. Our goal this year, this fiscal year, was to provide for the spay neuter of 9,800 animals. And we're on pace to hit that number. We're actually probably exceeded. And I don't know that there are very many, I know that there are no shelters in Kern County, but I don't know that there's too many veterinary outfits that have provided for the spay neuter of almost 10,000 animals in 1 year. Curtin's is probably the only one that's been able to do that. And I don't think they're hitting those numbers anymore either. So big shout out to our administrative team for managing that program. You know, big shout out to the SNP bus team who is out there 5 or 6 days a week because they know the only solution really is to flood the market with spay and neuter. So you'll see that on the page 5 is the spay and neuter accounting. So we were appropriated $1,100,000 this year for spay and neuter. That is $1 million that was funded from taxpayer dollars. So $500,000 was funded, appropriated by the county board, and then another $500,000 was funded by the Measure K tax measure. So that's the $1 million right there. And that $100,000 was a single donation that we received from the Bob Barker Foundation. And then what's not included in that number is $295,000 worth in grant money that we went out and got. And that $295,000 is what's supporting our voucher program and what the RLC program is using to support their program. There's a spay-neuter clinic in Oildale called Together Spay Forward. We've been able to expand our voucher program so that if you're getting your pet altered, if you're a county resident and you're going to get together so you can get your pet altered, that those surgeries are being subsidized by our spay-neuter fund. We're just hopeful that Sissy and her team at Together Spay Forward can continue to expand the amount of services that they're offering to the community because it's certainly needed, especially in that area. All April, we had fee waived adoptions. That was actually a planned thing. Even with fee waived adoptions, we were down a little bit lower in adoptions than we would like to be. It's something that we'll continue to try to tap into. Our off-site adoptions is a big part of what we're trying to do for adoptions to bring those numbers up. I'll get into that in a minute. Our Streets of Bakersfield program was active, of course, in April. If you're not familiar with the Streets of Bakersfield program, with what the Streets of Bakersfield program is, you come to the shelter, we do it twice a month, it's every other Saturday, and you come down to the shelter, you fill out a quick application, unless you've done it before, which most people are serial streets of Bakersfield. But you come out to the shelter, it's on a Saturday, usually between, depending on the weather outside, 9 and 11. You pick up a shelter dog. We don't really give you much of a choice on the dog, within reason, but they're pre-selected, typically, because we're vaccinating and we're microchipping and we're selecting them in advance. But you take the animal out for the day, and the benefit is just across the board, because the animal gets to leave for the day. It gets to spend time in the community. The person who's participating in the program is then marketing that animal on their own social media in a way that we couldn't do through ours, so it's kind of leveraging the algorithm. And we do see a pretty significant volume of animals, dogs that participate in the Streets of Bakersfield program that end up getting adopted. And a lot of times it's because of the marketing that they're getting from the Streets of Bakersfield folks. So it's usually somewhere between 25 and 35 dogs that leave through Streets of Bakersfield. So, and they're usually doing pretty much the same thing, it seems like. They're going to self-serve pet spa, getting bathed. They're going to a coffee shop to get a pup cup, and then they're going to the parking lot. Seems like everybody does the same thing. We should just all have them dressed the same way so that they're all saying, hey, you have one of the dogs. But the Streets of Bakersfield program is super important for us because it's another way to engage the community in some of the problems that we're dealing with, to see the shelter animals, and to see that each of those animals is an individual, and that most of them will make a good house pet. Try to dispel that notion that shelter dogs are damaged in some way.
Do you get many percentage on asking about the sleepover option?
More than I thought we would. So Commissioner Geary is referring to, we added another extension of the Streets of Bakersfield program, which is, mm-hmm. we call the Streets of Bakersfield in Animal Services SOB. And then we added SOBs, SOBS, and that's sleepovers. So basically, if you have taken a dog out for the day on a Saturday and you want to keep it over the weekend, you can bring back Monday. And so I did not think that most people would participate in that, but I'd say about a quarter, on the high side, about a quarter, about 25% of the dogs that go out will go on a sleepover. So you know, if we send 25 dogs out, like 5 will stay the weekend, which is super nice.
Yeah.
And it's usually those same serial participants that will keep those dogs. Most of those people that keep those dogs for the weekend also come in and volunteer at the shelter. you'll see the picture on page 11. That's our staff dressed up like the Easter Bunny. We were out in the community. We have an Easter outfit that several of our field staff will rotate through responsibilities to go and participate in events. It's just a way to try and, again, engage the community, get them to see the animals in the animal shelter as individuals and even just considering adopting or participating in programs. Every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we are out in the community at an adoption event. We have probably about 45 adoption partners throughout Kern County. It's not just Bakersfield. We're in Taft. We're in Tehachapi, we're in Rosemond, we're in, not as often, but Kern River Valley. We're going to be in Pine Mountain Club, I think, this weekend. Pine Mountain Club is up in the mountains, in the mountain community. And the idea, again, is just to, we know that there is a percentage of the community that has a preconceived notion about the animal shelter, maybe not want to go to the animal shelter because it's smelly, it's loud, it's sad. So it's just a way to bring the animals to the community rather than wait for them to come to us. We had a good weekend last weekend. I think we adopted, I want to say, 8 dogs off-site, which is good for us. Typically, we're only bringing out 4 to 6 at a time. And so to have 8 of them adopted was pretty successful. And it's cute because our off-site adoption team will text me and Deanna, the program manager, and goes, so-and-so got adopted. It's also cool, too, because now that we have been doing the off-site adoptions for about 2 years, we've integrated our foster parents, too. So we share the calendar with the foster parents. So these are fosters who have large breed dogs. They've had them in foster for sometimes months, if not years. And so they have the opportunity to show up at those adoption events and market their own animal. And so it hasn't been incredibly successful for the foster animals, but last weekend, I think two got adopted. So it's always a good thing to see the fosters that are showing up at those offices I mentioned. Our field services was busy. 1,300 calls were run for service just in April. 37 dogs were returned to their owners in the field. Again, those are 37 dogs that were picked up, were scanned for a microchip, or some sort of identification was recognized, and then our officers went back and returned those animals to the owners. There's no cost to the owners to do that because we don't want the animals, we want them to stay with their owners. And then 130 dogs were secured on property by animal control. So what that means is if an officer goes out and there's a dog running loose and reported as loose, instead of just automatically impounding the animals, our officers carry drills and screws and hammers and nails, and they seek forgiveness rather than permission to fix fences after they secure the animal back on property. Because again, our first option, our first preference is to keep the animal at home rather than take it into the shelter. Our commercial animal facility permit team issued eight permits were either passed or reissued. The CAF is the commercial animal facility permit. So we had 7 calls for breeders, 1 call for rescue, 1 call for a kennel permit, and then 1 call for a boarding facility. So we ran 10 calls in the month of April, which is lower than what we would usually see. We have 52 active commercial animal facilities currently. Our volunteer program, we are about to eclipse 3,500 hours. We hit 833 hours just in April, about to eclipse 3,500 hours to date. That's calendar year to date, not fiscal year. Year to date, we found adoption for 1,432 animals, 1,154 animals went to nonprofit partners, 299 animals were returned to their owners, for a total of 3,601 animals that made it out of our shelter alive just in 2025 calendar year. And then just since January 1st, we've provided for the sterilization of 3,330 animals. We had a cool, pretty cool story on page 21 I wanted to share with you. I'll just read the letter that we received. So, dear staff, my name is Denise Gordon, and I volunteer one day a week at Our Lady of Guadalupe School as a tutor. Usually once the children are done working on their assignments, they earn a piece of candy. During this time before Easter, 40 days of sacrifice known as Lent, students offered up their treats and earned treats instead for the dogs at your shelter. At the end of every session, the students would place a few cookies in a dog bowl, and then once the bowl was full, she would place the cookies back in the bag, and she mailed them to us so that we could give them to the shelter animals. She said the students would love to hear if the dogs like them, and we appreciate the tireless loving care of all of God's creatures. It must be a hard job, but very rewarding too. You take care of the needs of the animals and bring them comfort. Thank you, Harley A. Guadalupe students, tutor group. It was just a really nice thing to see somebody from the community that recognizes the task in front of us and cares about the animals in our facility too. I shared that with the staff and they loved it. I think we even filmed a video of us giving out the treats to the shelter dogs. Somebody in this room may have given out the treats to the shelter dogs. And then I sent that video to the to Ms. Gordon so she could share it with her students. So it was a nice little story there. And then I think she even donated $200 after that. And wow. She sent me a check for $200. We had an open house for fostering volunteers April 5th. That's usually just our way. We know the season's coming, so we're trying to get new recruits for the cat foster program, but we're also trying to recruit volunteers for the shelter too. So that was not incredibly successful, but I think we made the commitment to do it every year, even if we don't have a lot of success. If we get one foster out of it, it's a success. And then I'll just touch on the statistics for the year. Since January 1st through the end of April, just shy of 81% of all the animals that have come into our care ended up leaving our care alive. I cannot guarantee we will keep up that percentage, especially based on the amount of animals that are coming to us. but I think our staff is just doing a, and volunteers are just doing an amazing job, a fantastic job with the amount of animals that they have coming to them and what they're asked to do every day in the facility that they're trying to do. It's unbelievable. So that concludes the director's report, but I did want to address some of the questions about the new animal shelter. So just to give everybody a general update. This has been a process that's been undertaken 3 to 4 years ago. There's a design of a new facility. I think I shared it at this meeting. Where we are right now is there was a bit of a delay because the county was entering into negotiations with a construction management firm, or they had a competitive process to select the construction management firm. And so we participated in a request for proposals, and that firm has been chosen, and I think just this past Tuesday, the contract with the construction management team who will manage the project from beginning to end signed an agreement on Tuesday and the board approved. So that means that hopefully, now that there's a construction manager on the project, that it will move fairly quickly. I can tell you that I am not the manager of the county's funds. I don't pull the strings. I don't have any influence on how much money is spent or how quickly this process begins. I am not a construction guy. You ask me about animals, I'll answer the question. You ask me about construction, I'll give you a blank stare. But I can tell you that the construction management team signed the contract that lasts through 2028. So I don't know if that means it's going to take 3 years, that contract expires in mid-2028, which is about 3 years from now. So to give you some sense of about how long this might take. The facility that was designed, as designed, is massive. I was talking to Janet and Sandy just recently, and I was telling them that initially the project budget was $35 million. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And the project budget was $35 million because it's a giant facility. Mm-hmm. But the project budget wasn't enough to cover the cost of the building. The cost was closer to $55 million to build the facility as designed. So the county decided to increase the project budget to $55 million.
Wow.
And just recently, this hasn't been on any board agenda or anything like that, the county has secured the financing to support the project. So now we have a construction team that's on board. We have the property that's been purchased. Somebody told me the other day, I wish I would have been more involved in this, but somebody told me the other day that they saw people out at the site clearing tumbleweeds. Which got me really excited. I don't know if it was county people or it was just some homeless people. I don't know. It was just like that somebody heard it.
It's starting.
If you haven't been out there, it's right at the corner of Quinn Road and McMurtry Road. That is, if you know where the Harley Davidson sales place is, it's right across the street from there. There's a hotel, and then just behind the hotel is a vacant lot that's adjacent to the new sheriff's substation and Cornley's facility. Is that vacant lot right there? That's where that's.
So it is going to be next to the corporate building.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the future side of the animal. So I hope that answers most of the questions.
I want a date. Because I want to be there the day they put the shovel in the ground. I want to be there.
It should be groundbreaking things.
Yes.
If that slows the process down, I don't want to.
Oh, God.
If it takes them a day to find the scissors,
yeah,
I'd rather get through the way with it. Like, no, spend that day figuring out how to.
Well, actually, I'm shocked that they didn't scale down the project. Mm-hmm. They left it massive and gave you more money. Mm-hmm.
I'm not a money guy, and I think that things change. I don't know what kind of fiscal crisis will come up between now and whenever the project starts. I know that the county just announced today that they have come to an agreement with the labor union, the SEIU union, which represents the majority of county employees. And so, like, I don't know what that means, but there's, and I'm not trying to, you know, be a pessimist about this, but there are state budget shortfalls and there are federal budget impacts. And, you know, I don't know. All I can tell you right now is that this facility is closer to being built than at any point in my career, 20 years. So I'm hopeful. I would like a date too. But you know, I think it's clearer now than it ever has been before. And I don't think that you should discount voices like Sandy and Janet and Michelle and Danny and Terry and Joan, all of their contributions to these meetings and the county board meetings, making your voice heard so that the folks that do know about construction and finance, that they know that this is a serious necessity. It's a serious need. It's important. And if it wasn't a priority before, that it should be now. And I do feel like it is a priority right now.
Okay. Any questions from the commissioners on the report?
Sure. So the kittens that you take to PetSmarts and Petco's, I think you said there's 3 PetSmarts and 2 Petco's, I'm assuming that they're already fixed before they go up for placement there. And do those numbers get included in your adoptions, or does that become a PetSmart adoption and more of like a rescue transfer?
No, those are included in the adoptions.
That's included in the adoptions, okay. That's good. Those are good numbers. You know, I think that there's a lot of people that don't like to go to the shelter, as you mentioned, because bad things happen there. So I think getting out there at PetSmarts and, you know, you're getting the people, like when I had the bookstore and I had cats up for adoption there, you're getting people that didn't even know they wanted a cat. They go, oh, kitty, and they fall in love. And the magic just happens. So that's good. I'm glad to see that.
I think it's great that it looks like it's at least 3 years. It sounds like a long time, but it goes by so quick. So hopefully they get it moving quick.
What's your year? 52. I was 28 when I started.
Does Canes always participate?
Pretty much, yeah. Every weekend there. Yeah, Canes is
named after her dog, right?
The
restaurant was named after her dog.
Yes.
Yeah.
Canes is the dog. Yeah, raising Canes. Yeah.
Canes.
No, they're very active, not just with us, but with veterans affairs. They're always super supportive of us. They have a fundraising wing of Raising Canes. They're very accommodating for us. And they're a very good dog.
Nice.
Okay, Commissioner Lopez.
I'm pleased with the numbers also, Nick. I mean, 81% on both categories, 81.5. That's a couple of percentage points better than the last few months. I know they're working really hard. They're doing all these promotions that they didn't used to do. And there's a lot of new things that you're doing. And I know you're trying to figure out any kind of a solution. So good job on that. Glad to know that the land is purchased. How much land is that? How many acres?
You know? 2.5, I think.
And the current one,
2.5.
It's the same size.
It's not that big. The square footage of the building is like 4 times the size of it.
Okay.
To give you an idea, we have 92 kennels, and I think the current design for the new facility has 201.
Okay.
That's just kennels, that's not habitats. That's just kennels for large dogs.
Okay.
Sounds good. The idea of habitats, too.
Wow.
Okay, from the public, do anybody in the table want to have a question on the report?
You can't have a date. Sorry.
Okay,
seeing none. That's all right. I'll settle for no date for the moment.
Table 3, any questions?
Can I bounce off what Commissioner Tyler was saying? Or
yeah.
Can it only be directed to you?
Does it ever matter before? Why
would it? Well, I don't remember something sometimes, Nick. I don't remember. I was sitting here right before you said, God, 3 years sounds like such a long time, but I know it will fly by so fast. And as disgruntled as I want to be over wishing you never needed a bigger shelter and that everything was fixed prior and that less animals
existed, and we never had to get, not that we didn't need a more better facility, right? And that never happened. The animals kept getting coming, and it kept getting more, and I'm really happy that the county of Kern not only allotted for it, but added to it. And when you just said earlier that it is important now, I believe it, because like, you've been doing this and know a lot more than I do, but I've never seen them throw a gazillion dollars in my time that I've been doing this. And I think if that's a really long and drawn out and emotionally crushing situation, but it's neat that it's happening at all here.
And it was fascinating, though, how quick 3 years goes by.
No, I know.
I've been this for 10 minutes.
I wish it wasn't 3 years.
Right.
I really wish. But
that's worst case scenario,
yeah.
Too, is to say it will be less.
Or it could not have happened at all.
Right, true.
So that's true. I'm really happy that it's happening, and I look forward to it. I think it's going to be neat to have such a... I don't know if it's going to be high-end, but, like, comparatively to an old mechanics shop or whatever, it's going to be really neat for us to have here.
I don't know. The people in this room, I don't know how many animal shelters you've been in across the state of California. Most animal shelters are chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't have any hopes that it's going to be some sort of incredibly sanitized environment. I don't think it'd ever be like that.
Right.
Most animal shelters, this is the nature, especially in a county like this, where there's just a plethora of animals in our streets, like, it's going to be chaos.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a chaos that is more humane for the animals and treats the staff with the amount of respect that they deserve and I think that they've earned.
Okay.
So I don't have any false beliefs that they're gonna build this new facility and all of a sudden all my problems are gonna be solved.
No, I wouldn't even think that. It's just neat that it's happening at all, I guess. In a place that used to be the square footage is like 3 times or 4 times bigger. Like, I just couldn't even fathom that Kern County would get there.
How big were we at Mount Vernon?
It was smaller than what we have now in the Mount Vernon facility when we were there.
Yeah, and I don't know. I only know that we know because I've mentioned it before, but when the facility was where the city shelter is now, you guys managed both city and county dogs. Mm-hmm. There was one facility, and that was right up there.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
glad everyone knows.
We've done our research.
Yeah, awesome.
I think it's gotten worse.
Yeah, I have these periodic documents that go from my desk to the county bigwigs, you know, and it's just these procedural things that I have to do throughout the year, you know, these reports that have to be sent in, and these state of things reports that have to be sent in, and they just happen throughout the year. And you know, since I've been the director, I've had to do them every year. And every year since I was director, the facility would always be in any one of those documents. And it may have been framed in a different way. I think, you know, in 2014, when I was appointed permanent, the conversation was, is we're in this new facility, but it's still not meeting the community's needs, you know. And those communications have changed over the years as the conditions have deteriorated. Now, I will say that we went a very long time with the Fruitvale facility being adequate. It wasn't ideal, but it was adequate. The size was adequate. We had enough space to manage a healthy population. We had enough staff to manage the animals that were there. We were able to support every animal's emotional and physical needs. I was telling somebody the other day, it wasn't that long ago, that we had a dog in the county shelter named Guapo that was a genuine risk to public human safety.
Yeah.
Came in as a stray. And we had the staff, the time, and the space to keep that dog Guapo for about a year. And our team was able to rehabilitate that dog.
Wow.
And we had
treadmills that were donated so that we would keep him being exercised. We had him socialize over the course of, you know, 9 months to a year. And that dog got adopted. Mm-hmm. And so there was a time when the facility was meeting our needs, but we're taking in 3,300 more dogs a year than we did in 2019. $3,300 a year, it's untenable. And so, you know, the crisis that we're in right now is a relatively recent crisis. You know, we can debate all we want about how it came about. It's post-pandemic. And so our crisis for the facility has been relatively recent because it's directly relatable to the amount of animals that are coming to us. And so my only hope and my only prayer is that, listen, in addition to the county contributing hopefully $55 million to build this giant animal shelter, the county's contributed almost $4 million in spay and neuter money in 10 years. And so I think that, especially this year, where we've already secured another $1 million in funding for next fiscal year, I think over the course of 24 months, you're talking about just one county agency administering over $2 million in spay and neuter, and that will probably affect almost 20,000 altered animals in 2 years. I have to pray to the God above that that will have some large-scale, county-wide effect. It won't solve the problem, but we will start to see it in the data, we will start to see it in the statistics, and it'll only set us up so that when we do move into a new facility, that it's, I'm not going to put it, way larger than we need, and that we can get back to doing more individual rehabilitation for some animals that come to us, and we can begin to do things to some extent, like helping people who can no longer care for their own pet. Mm-hmm. And so it's hard to see it sometimes, but I think there's a pretty bright future. I know it's hard to see, especially for those of us who are out in the community seeing this stuff. But I hope we all agree that, like, there's very little difference in causation between what we're seeing in the shelter and what we're seeing out there. And so my hope is that all of this work that's being done will eventually start to turn the tide. And I am a little hopeful. I'm not entirely hopeful, but I'm a little hopeful that we will see that, you know, God willing, when we move into that facility, like, we'll really start to see this decline in the amount of animals that are in our community. And, hopefully by then the county bigwigs still have the stomach to continue to fund spay neuter. Because it's never going to be not needed.
Yes. So the SNP bus doesn't give it up.
Can I ask a question? Thank you. About related to what you were speaking of and field services. So I heard you just speak about spay and neuter. Right, how important that is, and think how that can make a major impact in reducing the number of dogs in the streets, right? I strongly agree with you. But, you know, I noticed that it's 130 dogs were secured, right? You mentioned for field services. Of course, we know there's far more dogs out on the streets right now than that. And I'm wondering, you know, again, as you mentioned, there's so many of us that are out there trying to help these dogs that are in the most horrific conditions that you could possibly imagine. We see it on a day-to-day basis. It gives us all post-traumatic stress syndrome every single day. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, can you think of other ways that we can address the crisis that's happening right now? Because you're right, I think in the long term, I think we probably can all agree spay and neuter is, you know, one of the most central things that are going to get us out of this crisis. But in the meantime, in the short term, right, with dealing with how incredibly severe the crisis is. And I would even say that it's probably the worst in California, the entire state of California. Other things, you know, I know you and I, we've talked a little bit about it, some of the other things that we maybe can try to start to do, but just wanted to see if you maybe, you know, like education, you know, those other aspects, if you thought of anything, other things, for example, enforcement.
You know, we have ordinances in place right now about against dumping dogs, but we see people dumping dogs all the time, constantly. We even have evidence of it. So what do you think we could do beyond that,
Janet, so let me preface your question with a question, clarifying question. Yes. Do you mean with the current state of resources?
With the current state of resources, and what do you think we can do to gain more resources in this area?
I honestly don't know that. I don't believe there's more that just we and Kern County Animal Services can be doing to stop that. I think we discussed some more broad approaches that we can take, bringing more attention to the crisis, billboards, media campaigns, just to bring more consciousness to the plight of dogs in our community and in our shelter. I certainly think there's some low-hanging fruit there. But to stop that from happening, animal abandonment, I think you're talking about an animal services agency that has 5-6 times the amount of personnel that we do right now. And I think, you would be looking at, to give you some idea, the Kern County Sheriff's Department has about 1,300 employees, somewhere around 650 sworn deputies. And they more or less patrol the same exact territory that animal control officers do. We have 11. And so if you just think about the scale, it gives you an idea of the magnitude of what we're being asked to fix. Now, I think when you're looking at how many more officers we would need, you got to also consider how many more vehicles we would need and what larger facility we would have to have and the administrative staff that we need to be added to manage the human resources. We handle our own human resources. We handle our own accounts payable and billings. Like, these are all growth in the department that would have to happen. You'd have to probably add another 15 to 20 animal care workers. I mean, we probably need another 15 to 20 now already. And so I think you're starting to get into an area where you're talking about an animal services department that's, a $30 million tax pay, general fund cost rather than a $7 million general fund cost. And unfortunately, or fortunately, the county would have to take that money away from something else. And, I think that's a tough sell. I think every journey starts with one step. And then a tough sell, doesn't mean you can't have that conversation. But that's why I asked, are we talking about with current resources or in the perfect world?
Right. In the perfect world.
But I think, like I said, I think that there are some things that we can and should do that are relatively easy that we can work together to create, to develop, to produce, and kind of see where that leads us, and I think it'll, everybody say us, I mean the community and the animal services, not just you guys. But I just think that that'll set us up so that maybe when we do get to a point where we do have additional resources here or there, maybe not 5 or 6 times the amount of officers, maybe we have a couple more officers, and maybe at that point, when we do have those resources available, then we have the type of relationship with the community where we could start looking, asking for ideas, concepts, what do you think we could do with additional resources? So I just, like I said, when I say I'm a little optimistic, I don't just mean for the shelter. I mean for our field team, too, and I mean for our county. And, I can only talk about animal services. I can't talk about other agencies that are responsible for doing taking on some of the roles that we do. But I think that we're a much stronger, much more adept agency now than we were 10 years ago, 15 years ago. And so I can only imagine where we'll be in 10 or 15 years from now. Okay.
Thank you for the report.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So I need a motion to receive the following report.
I'll make a motion.
Second. All in favor? Great. Thank you very much. Great report. Commissioner announcements or reports? On their own initiative, they may make an announcement or report on their own activities. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff, or take action to have staff place a matter of business on a future agenda. Commissioner Lopez, you?
Yeah, I actually want to make a comment, and it's been alluded to right now by several people, but yeah, I think that my initial thoughts when hearing, I'm so sorry, I forgot your name.
That's okay.
When I was hearing your you present, and then also the follow-up questions to the director's report, and maybe it's a reflection of my current job. So I do think that there is a difference between like the duties, responsibilities that fall within the Kern County Animal Services, right? And what they can, and maybe the expectations that we have of the department versus like, yes, it's a crisis, but that's a crisis that, again, even more resources might solve, because to me, or the way that I see it is, this is a community issue.
Mm-hmm.
The lack of empathy that we're finding in this community, right? And just not, maybe not so much like different morals that we hold, especially for those in this room particularly, and just, and so it, that's not something that a department, right, is ever going to be able to address, right? And so when you ask what solutions, right, can the department even consider, right? And the thing is, it's like, it's not the department's responsibility to necessarily, you know, impose morality, right, on community. Yes, perhaps there might be prosecution involved for bad actors, or especially repeated bad actors, correct? Certainly that can be an option, should there be the resources available for that, right? But that does not change, right? That like, there are people that are growing up that are now, or you know, even from a young age, like youth, etc., that are just not seeing the value of life. You know, human life, right? And then much less animal life, right? And that is not, right, a department, or even the, you know, like, we then go into this conversation of like, how much government overreach is there, et cetera, right? But that's, again, so I think like when I hear that your concerns and everything, I'm just like, but that's, you know, what can groups do? And I think that that maybe it's a matter of, you know, friends, nonprofits, or et cetera, that are going out there and teaching compassion, right? Right, and showing compassion and demonstrating compassion. So that, you know, that is a model, right, that we are giving to the community. And I'm not necessarily certain that that's something that, you know, falls within the purview of the department, personally, so.
Thank you, Commissioner Lopez. I agree with you 100%, actually. Thank you for your comment.
Oh, response, yeah.
Wait a minute, this is not.
Yeah, it's not a back and forth.
Okay.
No problem, I was just asking.
Wait a minute. She doesn't speak often, but when she speaks, that was. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you saying that. Not last Tuesday, but Tuesday before, I did 3 dangerous dog hearings in a row. That was interesting. We are probably going to change the venue for where we do the hearings to this building.
Okay. Here.
Safer. For some of it. Anyway, so we're going to move the venue here, and I don't think the hearings will stop. Just keep coming. Also, on a side note, I wear a lot of different hats when it comes to animals, and the Bear Valley Springs where I live, they have rangers, and the rangers just make sure people have permits for fishing and things like that. But they also, since there's nobody out there that does wildlife, that's kind of fallen on them. So for about 5 years, when there's a downed hawk or bird of prey, I get those birds to hold on to, and normally what happens is I have them for 1 or 2 days, and then the volunteers with Fish and Wildlife come and pick them up and bring them down to Ojai or a rehab someplace. Well, Fish and Wildlife let go of all their volunteers, which makes no sense to me at all. So now we have one ranger that covers a huge area. And Rocco the Ranger, he brought me, I think it's a great horned owl, I'm not absolutely sure, but it had all of its flight feathers, but some down on his head and down under his wings. But its sibling flew off, so something happened on that crash landing. So I ended up with him, and it turns out because of the bird flu that no rehabs, the warden wouldn't take them, they're not allowed to, and nor would the rehabs. So now I've got this bird, and I have 4 girlfriends staying at the house, and we named him Homer, and Homer got very healthy. I was feeding him with tongs, salad tongs, the middle kind, raw meat, and it's better if it's left out so it's smelly. And then you have to mix it with feathers and stuff because it's a long story, but that's our digestive system. They have to have that, yeah. And he was just great. You know, his wings would go out, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard now, but it makes this awesome clicking sound, just clicking and hissing. And the wings go out, and then he'll grab the meat. So then, since I was going to have longer, I was trying to figure out how to feed him water because there was something wrong with one of the legs, so he would knock everything over. So I came up with turkey baster. So I was feeding him with the turkey baster with the water, and you could see, he would open his mouth after he fought me, he'd open his mouth and you could see him swallow. So anyway, I finally found a rehabber in Lemoore. So he got transferred up to Lemoore. You have to sign it so you don't know what's gonna come of it. But she's a veterinarian and a rehabber, so we're hoping that Homer makes it, but it was 50-50. Has that one leg. But everything else about him was very healthy. So anyway, that's my sideline.
Thank you for sharing that with us. Commissioner Taggart.
Mine's not quite that exciting. I'm rehabbing chickens at the moment. We've got a whole bunch of babies. We're hatching outdoor, actually, for a lady to hatch if he that has a farm. Been working on that. We have actually one right now that I've been babysitting and taking to work with me. It almost came to the meeting tonight for the last 3-4 days. She's got splitting legs. It's a silky chick, and it's about yay big.
Aww.
And it's just, it's so
mean. It's your emotional support chicken.
It's an emotional support chicken. Anyway, so
just tell the rangers downstairs how much you
bring. Anyway, so we're taking care of that one. I actually ordered some stuff off Amazon to fix the legs today. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we can get that one up and going. It's about a week old now, so hoping we didn't miss the window, but it took time to get the stuff here to do it. We put a temporary hobble on the first couple days at work, so hopefully it did enough that we can, you know, get it up and going. But yeah, we're also hatching out guinea hens right now. So
yeah. Oh, the stupidest creatures on the face.
They are the
control. Yeah, on the ground. That's watch out. Watch out.
But yeah, other than that, that was just work.
All right. Commissioner Christopher.
You know, the same old thing for me. I took some cats up and did some cats at Critters, and yeah, life goes on. I am finding the kitten season seems to be just a tick later. Mm-hmm. I like to think it's because I've been so active in the community getting everybody spayed and neutered that we are, in fact, going to have a kitten shortage, but no, there's no shortage. I have one bottle baby foster that has just received a batch of 9 kittens. Mama got hit by a car, supposedly. People lie sometimes at their convenience. I know it's hard to imagine, but they do. So, yeah, they're coming. They're here, and it's hard. It's hard to just move all these kittens in and try and find great fosters that will take care of them and not only keep them healthy and safe, but give them the love
and find out their personality so we can get them placed in proper homes and fixed and adopted. And it's tireless. It comes every year, and you hope every year it's not going to be as bad. And every year it is. Yeah. It is, but I'll keep trying.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I appreciate all the great comments from the table. That was really good tonight. Moving on, old business, there is none. New business, there is none. And the last item is adjournment. We'd like to make a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Okay, a second.
I'll second.
We're adjourned until Wednesday, June 18th.
I'll see pictures.
I
appreciate you.
But my husband says if there are only more cats, it's about the floor. Now I'm going to go shop.
I think he's, I would call him on that bluff.
You know what I was going to say? Like, I don't think he really would do it, but this is my my 7-year-old has one in her lap.
Cute.
Right? Like, how can you say no to that face? And then this was them this morning.
Oh my god.
I know, aren't they adorable?
Yes.
They're seriously like, now they share one brain cell.
Now, yeah, right.
Right.
Most of them are. But I, for me, and I'm, I don't.
I would have a million cats. Like, I got a 2,600 square foot house.
But,
like,
but only cats in room. We only love kittens.
Oh, you only love, okay.
But they like, they actually literally make my life better. Like, yeah. I come home and this foster kitten we have, Pepper.
Oh, yeah.
She's just such a goofball. Like, I'll come home and I'll have the worst day, and then she's just like falling off the couch or she's attacking my leg. She's like, I smile.
They're awesome. They're comic relief.
Like, they're, yes. Baby pictures. Yeah, yes. My husband. Yes. Oh.